I don't know if it's a subversive, but it's just kind of like an undercover way of being with people and not such a predefined role of church, you know. Mm-hmm. Every time I step into church, you know, it's just, maybe some people feel this way too, which is you kind of have a already set guidelines of expectations of what's going to happen, who's going to be there, what people are thinking, you know. And that's, I've talked with tons of my friends that are non-believers about judgment and, you know, the judgment they feel from the Christian community. And I'm like, I say to them, like, when did I judge you? Like, when have I brought this? And they're like, oh, you never did. And I'm like, well, you know, I mean, what's your experience with believers? You? And I'm like, well, then.
What's your problem?
So, you know, to me, you know, my professor said to me once in college, he goes, you know, the ultimate graphic design job is to present Christian imagery in a way that's not already abused or trampled on, like cross imagery. You know, you put up a cross now, and I mean, you're opening the can.
It's got baggage and backstory.
Sure, yeah. You know, and I think, you know, as a believer, I kind of want to just get away from normal, you know, and kind of flank the whole issue, you know.
I like that imagery. Know, flank it.
Yeah, just come around the side and just, like, you know, like, hey, we're not doing church, you know, but we are kind of in a way. You know, I know all these guys' names, you know. I know their life, you know. I know that some of them, you know, don't have any money. You know, some of them can't afford shoes. You know, I know this guy's married. I know this guy's has two kids. I don't know that about some people in my church. I go to church with every single week. I have no clue who they are. I don't know. I mean, to me, it's just
the barriers are down.
Yeah.
And there's this openness to relationship that's centered around this particular activity. Mm-hmm. And one of the words that I've learned over the years that's a fancy Latin word or a mock of a Latin word is the word communitas. Mm-hmm. And it's what makes me, what you're describing makes me think of that. And the idea is that the church is shaped by engaging in mission together.
Mm-hmm.
So we are shaped as the church as we do things together in mm-hmm. the world.
Yeah.
And something like 2C Futsal and you talking about relationship, being a follower of Christ and being in relationship with these people here because you're playing a sport together. Mm-hmm. You care.
Yeah.
And you're being shaped as a part of the church and helping to shape the church's imagination, in my opinion, by doing this. That's being shaped in mission.
That's exactly it. You know, you just want to be part of the community. I just want to offer something to the community they like and they want. And I don't know. I think, you know, I see someone, you know, kind of like an offbeat subject, but it's also kind of relevant, which is I grew up playing baseball as well. And I remember playing Little League baseball. And I remember a specific gentleman by the name of Dan Homeris. And, you know, he was a small community. Everyone knew who he was. But the thing was, is looking back now, things like Little League baseball didn't happen unless he was there. You know, those are the type of people that make things happen. And no one thanked him. You know what I mean? I don't remember going up to Dan Homeris and saying, thank you. You know, we know what you do. And that's kind of where I'm at with 2C Futsal. Is like, you know, I want to do the work, you know. I want to be the person that makes a change happen, you know. And maybe that's within the community and a community function, in a civic function, but also, you know, within a evangelical believer function of doing the work to be in the community, you know, laying the groundwork for something more.
Hmm.
You know, I don't know. I mean, my friend confronted me, my non-believer friend. I kind of wonder about that sometimes, though. Anyway, he'll tell you he's a non-believer. We had this conversation. He's getting animated, and it's funny because this conversation sticks in my mind. And we're talking about, you know, Trump and all this stuff, and believers. He's like, why? He's like, why do you associate with these people? And because we're bringing up all the bad things that we do,
man, yeah.
Which are obvious. They're out there in front, and they lead the way for us. And I said, you know, I was like, I don't believe that. But the thing is like, you know, if I'm going to identify myself as a Christian, I was like, don't you think I have a responsibility as a believer to be in the body and be the change that I want to see? And he just was like, that was the end of the conversation.
So you're not walking away from the church, but being a part of the church and all of its mess.
Yeah.
And being a part of the community as the same thing, but not walking away from either one.
Yeah. So, you know, the thing is, you know...
So he thought you had a point.
Huh?
Did he think you had a point?
Yeah, exactly. The funny thing is that he feels like he's right all the time. He has all these really valid arguments, but I've shut him down so many times. Like, one time we're out and he's just like, why does God let bad things happen to good people? And I'm like, really? You're going to come at me with that one? And I was like, free choice. Free choice. It's like, you just go down that rabbit hole. Just go down, just figure that one out to the end. It's free choice.
Hmm.
You know? Towards the good, if you were forced to love someone, is that really love? You know? Anyway.
It's good stuff.
But anyway, with the community thing, you know, and I don't want to come off as like I hate the church or I think everything's wrong with the church. I think there's a lot right with the church.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like sometimes we lack imagination.
Yeah.
I feel like we lack...
I know I do.
I just feel like, you know, we go to church and we limit church, you know. Mm. We limit our belief. We limit who we are. And I've told this to my kids. I was like, you serve the God that created the heavens and the stars and the earth and the water and the animals and the people. Like, don't put a cap on him.
Mm.
Like, the second you start thinking about what can't be done, you're going to get knocked down a few notches. And so I just always keep wide open because, you know, Christ was a revolutionary. And we don't think so today because it's kind of normalized, but he still wants to be revolutionary. He still wants to be different. And I just think about him at that time. People were like, you're like picking wheat on a Sunday or whatever. Like, people were like, whoa, you can't do that. Like, religious leaders were like, you can't do that. And that's where I kind of put myself is like, what can we do and what can't we do? And I think what I hear all the time is, do whatever you want. He's like, I'm big enough to use whatever you bring. You know?
I like that. So, to the aspiring revolutionaries that may be listening, to the alternative sport loving skater, futsal, soccer, baller, whatever they are, you know, whatever they're doing, snowboarding, to the entrepreneur out there that's just kind of starting out or frustrated or struggling or whatever,
mm-hmm.
What do you say? What do you say to them from your journey?
You know, that's hard. I don't put limits on yourself. If you really, I've said this in the past, but I don't know if I quite agree with it today. I'll say it, but take it with a grain of salt, which is, you'll get whatever you want in this world. In my opinion, you know, all bets off, you know. If you really want something, you can go get it. Whether you do it through criminal acts or, like, you know, like sabotage or backstabbing or, you know, whatever, I really feel like in this world, if you really want something, you want to go get it.
Like, you're going to follow the desires of your heart.
Yeah. You're going to, and the thing is, and it's true throughout story and, like, throughout the ages, like, look in history, like, people who wanted stuff, like, say, like, great leaders, you know, like Napoleon or something, or like, you know, America going over and fighting the Nazis, you know, we were going to go over there and stop that. And we did, you know, because we could. And we found the means, you know. The women went into the factories and worked because they believed, you know. We all believed in it. And, you know, just as much so as the Nazis believed that they were right, you know. And they did some serious damage. And, like, in a good way and an evil way, you know what I mean? You can do both.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just feel like, and you can scale that down to a much simpler level, you know, in my opinion. and someone's probably going to come to me and say, well, what about this and what about that? And I'm like, yeah, you know, those are there. I don't know. That's why I say I don't know if I believe in it necessarily anymore. But I don't know. I feel like whatever you set your heart to, especially if you're saying something to the effect of, Lord, use me, you know. Again, you go back to the part of, you know, if this really meant to be, but also be open to the fact that, you know, you may say, I want this, and the Lord's like, okay. And then the path skews off to the left like a couple of feet. Don't be too proud to step two steps to the left and, you know, go with that. You know what I mean? I don't know. It's a hard question, because a lot of people would have said to me, you know, you've been extremely lucky and blessed. And sometimes I feel like, yeah, luck. Or sometimes I feel like the Lord laid that before me. And my wife and I had enough courage to just grab it. I don't know. That's hard to say as well. I don't know. I'm not quite sure. Right now, I just know that, you know, I try and do as the Lord leads me. I screw up all the time.
Do you feel a responsibility to steward what you've been trusted with?
Oh, definitely. Oh, yeah, definitely. It's a huge responsibility.
What do you say to the follower of Christ, living in the workaday world, and they're a part of a church, they go to church? What would you say to? Because I talk to a lot of pastors, a lot of youth workers, a lot of missionaries, a lot of different folks. I see you as an innovating follower of Christ. Somebody thinks, I love what you said earlier, flank it. I think that's going to become a hashtag for me, and people can do whatever they want to with it. Just flank it, okay?
I've been playing too many, dude, like shooter games. Go around.
That's a t-shirt, dude. Flank it. That's a bumper sticker. But what do you say to the, like, you and your wife and your kids, you're part of a church.
Mm-hmm.
And so they've got a pastor and they've got a staff, mm-hmm. and, you know, we know those folks. But you do stuff every day. That's not your job. Your job isn't to be a Christian, not mm-hmm. that it's a pastor or missionary's job. But it can feel like that as somebody that is and has been those things. Mm-hmm. So what do you say to the person in the workaday world, being a follower of Christ, and just your brother and sister in Christ that's listening right now?
Well, I don't know.
A word of encouragement, of inspiration, a word of something that God's taught you lately, maybe. I don't know. I'm putting you on the spot with this one.
I don't know what I was. I mean,
flank it.
I think you know. I think if you, this is coming to my mind, and I don't know why, but I'm just gonna say it.
Yeah.
And hopefully it's relevant. Is that there was a time in my life. Early believerhood is I would literally get on my hands and knees, and the only thing I would say is, Lord, I'm here, use me. That's all I would say. And I just was desperate for the Lord to use me. And I said, I felt like at the time, you're not going to be happy in whatever you're doing, because like you could say, Lord, bless this mission to Guatemala or something. But if that's not it, you know, if that's not what he wants you to be doing, then obviously that's not going to fulfill you. I don't know. That's just kind of how I felt. Like, if I'm doing what the Lord wants me to be doing, I feel like I'm going to be feeling good in that spot, wherever that spot is. Day-to-day stuff, it's hard for me, like, the everyday thing is because I abhor that, and I go away from it. Run away from
it. Why?
I don't know. It's in me. It's in my DNA. Like,
yeah, but see, I like that about you. That's why I like to hang out with you.
because, like, some my wife told me that some of our friends, their, like, motto for me is, like, what's Luke doing now? I guess I change too much or something. I can't sit still.
You're always into something.
I got to do something, whether it's successful or not, I don't care. I like new and adventure and not knowing and being out there, and I feel like it's cool. I feel like it's awesome to learn something new, and I feel like that about people too, you know, seeing new people, meeting new people, you know.
Are you afraid to fail?
Not really.
Why not?
It just doesn't matter to me. success or failure in people's eyes doesn't matter to me. I know deep down what I want, and if it didn't happen, I'd just be like, well, it didn't work. I don't know. It doesn't matter to me. It doesn't, like, if people's opinion of me, it matters, but I came with into a group of friends. I'm still friends with them from high school. They're non-believers, very liberal, very non-believer, still very, very good friends with them. But the one thing, the reason I'm good friends with them to this day is I came into high school as like a freshman, and I was caught up in my little, you know, high school world of what's people's opinion of me. I'm very concerned. Had all the anxiety that a high schooler has, right? And these set of friends came and put their arms around me and basically dictated to me that I am their friend and you have no choice in the matter. We are friends now, and that's it. It doesn't matter what these people think or what these people do. We're friends. And that was the mode of us. Mm. And it was attractive because a lot of people want to hang out with us, and we weren't necessarily believers at the time, and so we were kind of mean to people. But what was interesting was that we clung to each other, and it didn't matter. There was no judgment. It was, we're okay, and we're gonna move forward and have fun. And I don't know, it just stuck with me, you know. That I think that kind of ingrained in my DNA that I'm gonna move forward, I'm gonna do what I do, and I have my people. I have my family, I have my friends, and people come and go. And I've gotten decent at seeing, you know, when people come around, what their intentions are, you know. And not that, you know, I'm gonna chastise them or anything, but I kind of start getting a feeling of like, what are you really after? You know, are you after an intimate relationship with me? That where we, you know,
is it authentic? Yeah. Or are you angling?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, the thing is it's hard that the world is full of angles, and if you know that, it's beneficial. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Let's wrap this up, man. You give me way more time than I expected.
I know. Well, I didn't mean to ramble on it.
No, this is great. So, any parting thoughts?
Parting thoughts?
Any untold stories?
Untold stories?
All the stories are untold, right? 40 minutes, dude.
Jeez, that's too long. No one wants to listen to me that long.
I will.
Parting thoughts?
They won't know that until they get to this point, though. That's the great part about this.
I wouldn't listen to it. That's me, though. Parting thoughts, like, just believe in yourself. I know it's like seems like a cat poster, but golly.
Meme. Believe in yourself.
But you know what I mean? Like, if you don't believe in yourself, who's gonna?
Yeah.
And the thing is as believers, if you're a believer, then golly, you know, believe in yourself. You know, if God is telling you, or the Lord's telling you this, that, or the other, if you don't grab onto that and have faith in that, I mean, like, you should really question what you believe in.
Mm.
You know? And that's, it's an easy thing to say, and it's a hard thing to do, but at the same time, you know, at the core of what you're doing, if the Lord says, this is it, and you're, go get swallowed by a fish and figure it out, you know what I mean? It's full. I mean, the
that's right.
Is full of it, you know? Just
people are always getting thrown in holes.
Right? But the thing is it's just, I you know, coming up, we had, Sarah and I came, and we literally came into really places where we just had no money. And it was like pretty bad. Sarah and I were pretty poor. My wife and I were really poor. And she would just get so stressed about bills and stuff. And I was like, Sarah, I was like, you really, really think that the Lord is going to take us up to the edge of this cliff where we feel like we're going to fall and just be like, see, push you over. I was like, he's not going to do it. He's gonna just be like, it's scary over here. I mean, like, hold on. But I'm not going to push you over the edge and watch you fall. You may feel like it, but... And I said that to her so many times, and I was like, not that I have all the answers, but, you know, the thing is like, the Lord, you know, if you're seriously chasing after what you feel like the Lord wants you to do, he's not going to push you over the edge.
Yeah.
You know? it's going to get scary, but he's not going to just go free falling.
Well, and my hope would be that whether he pushes me or I go over the edge, he's coming with me.
Yeah.
And I can trust that.
Well, that was my analogy, is that, you know, it looks scary and it may feel...
It works, man.
It may feel out of whack, but he's not going to just sign off on you. As long as you stick with him, he'll stick with you. And we don't stick with him.
Okay, one last thing for the last time.
Yeah.
For right now. What is one thing, one project or season of life or something that you just put all of yourself into and you just loved it,
mm-hmm.
and you still like it today and it just didn't even work and you don't care. It's just, you were just glad you did it.
Are you thinking about what I'm thinking about?
No, I don't know.
Oh. Yeah, well,
I only know different parts of your story, so.
You know about this one. We did a live show. I don't know if people know what Periscope is.
Okay. Well, I was thinking of this one, but I didn't know if you'd bring it up.
Well, yeah, we did it, and it was, we did it 2 times a week, and this was a kind of a attempt on a video career move and just, like, more production, and my buddy and I don't know, it was like this whole kind of brainstorm that we came up with about what if we did a produced live show, kind of loose script, mystery, all this stuff, and we did it live. And we had, it was like Survivor live. And we did it here in locally, and we got a bunch of actors.
In Nampa, Idaho.
Nampa, Boise.
Treasure Valley.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wherever we could get internet, because you had to stream it live. And each week, whoever didn't get the most likes or votes or whatever, they're axed off the show. And we would do it in a dramatic fashion, like either kill them or kidnap them or something. It's like this kind of real funny bit. Anyway, we did this whole thing we did it for 2 months? It was a long time. Live Survivor, Wednesdays and Sundays.
Through Periscope,
through,
like,
Periscope.
Social media,
yeah.
Interaction.
And then people could actually, like, comment live, and you would get your, you know, your trolls, but you'd also get people. We had like 5 or 6 people that were super into it, and we knew their tag, and they'd come on, and it was interesting.
Were they local or were they from other places?
No, one girl was in Wisconsin, another guy was in Texas, one girl I think was in England, I think. Somewhere else. And a few others scattered. I don't know if we ever really found out where they were, but it was cool, and the idea was rad, and I loved doing it, and I felt like I got that out of my system of producing something and doing some alternative show. And it didn't work at all. It just totally...
But you're glad you did it.
Yeah, I'm totally glad I did it. Yeah.
That's awesome. Thanks, man.
Yeah. Does that work for you?
Yeah.
That was fun.